This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So let's get into the introduction of Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi. What is this book about? So one thing we know for sure, Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi, in this book, he is collecting 40 hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, first of all, FYI, this book does not have 40 hadith, it has 42 hadith. Okay, first thing. But the reason why it's called a 40 hadith collection is to round it up to the 40, because there is a virtue mentioned in some ahadith regarding 40 hadith collection. So before we get to all of that, I thought I would start off by actually reading the introduction of Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi in his 40 hadith collection. He starts off by saying, Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, qayyum as-samawati wal-ardeen, مدبر الخلائق أجمعين باعث الرسل صلواته وسلامه عليهم إلى المكلفين لهدايتهم وبيان شرائع الدين بالدلائل القطعية وواضحات البراهين أحمده على جميع نعمه وأسأله المزيد من فضله وكرمه. Now in this first part, more or less he's praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's a summary of it. And he's also Now, why is he praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because we know that any action you start, you always start in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is one hadith that tells us that any action that is started without the name of Allah has no barakah in it. So he starts off doing exactly that. The second thing is that any project you start, or any goal that you want to take on, you always praise Allah at the beginning, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who can give you the ability to complete that, who can give you the ability to carefully and properly execute what it is you're going after. So that's why the importance of hamd, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, always praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the truth is that when a person thoughtfully praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's when you learn to build an intimate bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you praise him for his favors upon you. You think about them. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created the skies and the earth. He is the one who maintains the skies and the earth. This hadith that I'm reading was delivered to us through the prophets, you know, and these ahadith are clear proofs. And these ahadith were delivered to us because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the prophets. Ba'ith al-Rusul. Allah is the one who sent the prophets. And then he says, Ahmaduhu ala jami'i ni'amihi. I praise Allah for all of His favors. وَأَسْأَلُهُ الْمَزِيدَ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ وَكَرَمِهِ. And I ask Allah to shower me with more of His favor and more of His honor. Then after that, he testifies in the oneness of Allah. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَّارُ الْكَرِيمُ الْغَفَّارُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَحَبِيبُهُ وَخَلِيلُهُ أَفْضَلُ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ وَالْمُكَرَّمُ بِالْقُرْآنِ الْعَزِيزِ بِالْقُرْآنِ الْعَزِيزِ المعجزة المستمرة على تعاقب السنين وبالسنن المستنيرة للمسترشدين المخصوص بجوامع الكلم وسماحة الدين صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى سائر النبيين والمرسلين وآل كل وسائر الصالحين. So in this part now, he's testifying in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he sends his salutations upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and praises the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for being the one who is the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the servant and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who was honored by the miracle, the continuous miracle of the Qur'an, the honorable Qur'an, which was sent after a long drought. There was no revelation for such a long time. And then the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also blessed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a beautiful sunnah. And he was makhsus bi jawami al-kalim. This is a very beautiful praise he uses to praise the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does that mean? Al-makhsus bi jawami al-kalim. Al-makhsus means he was unique, he was special with this. Bi jawami al-kalim, with concise statements. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make a small statement, and 1400 years later, scholars are still commentating upon that one statement. Still going to the depth of it. You know, when I'm teaching hadith this year, Mishkat al-Masabih, to the students at the Qalam Seminary, those who are in the advanced years. And when I sit and teach them, sometimes we open up one hadith. There was one time we discussed one hadith for almost 1 hour. And one of the students in the class said to me, I never imagined there could be such commentary on a hadith for 1 hour. By the way, it wasn't 1 hour of stories and idhar udhar ki bekar baatein. It was 1 hour of proper commentary. Like, you know, aqwal and opinions and how the hadith and what we derive from the hadith and the context of the hadith and the meaning of the hadith and how to implement that hadith. And as we were going through it, the students were amazed. And I said to them, this is the Jawami' al-Kalim of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had these precise and concise statements. And we'll learn this through the class. While we're reading these ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we'll exercise many of these. He then says, amma ba'd. Amma ba'd is a transitional statement. This is the statement you put inside your muqaddama or in your letter, in your introduction or in your letter, when you're done with the praise and ready to talk about and introduce the science in the book. So now he's ready to introduce the book. He said, فَقَدْ رَوَيْنَا أَنَ عَلِيِّ بْنِ أَبِي طَالِبٍ وَعَبْدِ اللَّهِ بْنِ مَسْعُودٍ وَالْمُعَاذِ بْنِ جَبَلٍ وَأَبِي الدَّرْدَاءِ وَابْنِ عُمَرَ وَابْنِ عَبَّاسٍ وَأَنَسِ بْنِ مَالِكٍ وَأَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ وَأَبِي سَعِيدٍ الْخُدْرِي رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ مِنْ طُرُقٍ كَثِيرَةٍ بِرِوَايَاتٍ مُتَنَوِّعَاتٍ. He says that he narrates a bunch of Sahaba and said that through all of these Sahaba we receive one narration. And the narration comes to us through many pathways, meaning there are many chains that narrate this hadith. And what is this genre of hadith? أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من حفظ على أمتي أربعين حديثا من أمر دينها بعثه الله تعالى يوم القيامة في زمرة الفقهاء والعلماء وفي رواية بعثه الله فقيها وعالما وفي رواية أبي الدرداء وكنت له يوم القيامة شافعا وشهيدا وفي رواية ابن مسعود قيل له ادخل من أي أبواب الجنة شئت وفي رواية ابن عمر كتب في زمرة العلماء وحشر في زمرة الشهداء. So he narrates all these ahadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Whoever memorizes 40 hadith, that's one interpretation or one translation of this hadith, or the more accurate translation of this hadith is, whoever preserves or safeguards 40 hadith for my ummah that relate to the matter of this religion. Meaning anyone that preserves 40 hadith for the ummah so people can come and learn them. What does that mean? Maybe preserves them as a book, writes them as a document. That's why I always tell my students that I encourage every Muslim to compile a 40 hadith collection. Every Muslim should compile a 40 hadith collection. You don't need to publish it, it doesn't need to go online, it doesn't need to be in an online bookstore. Just collect it for your own benefit. That these are my favorite 40 ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As a Muslim, when I studied the Prophet's ahadith, when I read them, these are 40 ahadith that meant something to me. And you can choose a common theme, as Imam Nawawi will talk about up ahead. I would love to see someone collect 40 ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that relate to the youth. We have 40 ahadith regarding the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and 40 ahadith on nikah, and 40 ahadith on this, and 40 ahadith on that. I once came across a 40 hadith collection. It's called the 40 ahadith of Muhammad, which means there are 40 ahadith, and all the narrators in all 40 of these ahadith, guess what their names are? Muhammad. And Muhammad, Ibn Muhammad, Qala Muhammad, and Muhammad, Sami'a min Muhammad, Hadathani Muhammad. That's kind of like what the chain of narration sounds like. Muhammad, Muhammad, Muhammad. And then there's another famous 40 hadith collection in which the author of the 40 hadith collection, what he did was, he collected 40 ahadith. Are you guys ready? From 40 hadith. He collected 40 compilations of 40 hadith. I have that book at home, by the way. So there are 40 hadith collections, and this author collected 40 collections of 40 hadith collections. So this times 40 by 40, and that's how many ahadith are in that book. Okay. There's another one that I was referring to, in which the author, what he did was, this is prior to having access to easy transportation, he traveled to 40 different major cities and narrated one hadith from each of the major scholars there. So there are 40 hadith from 40 major cities. So the people had a different taste, a different spin on what they were looking for. They created a thesis, a hypothesis, what they wanted to accomplish, and then they collected 40 hadith. Now, the one who does this, what's their reward? One hadith says that they will be resurrected in the group of the scholars and jurists. One hadith says that that person will be resurrected as a scholar and a jurist. One hadith says that that person, I will intercede on behalf of that person and I will testify on behalf of that person to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One hadith tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to that person, enter into whichever door of Jannah you want to enter through. Subhanallah. And one hadith says that his name will be written in the group of scholars and he will be resurrected with the group of the martyrs. Now, after narrating all these ahadith, Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi, what does he say? He says, وَاتَّفَقَ الْحُفَّاظُ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ حَدِيثٌ ضَعِيفٌ وَإِنْ كَثُرَتْ طُرُقُهُ. He said, after I shared all these narrations regarding 40 ahadith and their virtue, all the scholars who are masters in hadith, the huffaz, the masters of hadith are in consensus that the ahadith relating to preserving 40 hadith are all weak. Even though they come through many chains, what is Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi himself saying? They are all weak. But just because they're weak, does that mean Imam Nawawi is not going to write this book? Does that mean Imam Nawawi isn't going to write this book? A weak hadith still has a place in the religion, and he's going to address that very soon. So how he addresses it is very interesting. He starts off by saying, there were other scholars before me who practiced these ahadith too. So he's kind of taking the blame off himself. He said, there were other scholars who did it as well. And he starts off by saying, وَقَدْ صَنَّفَ الْعُلَمَاءُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ فِي هَذَا الْبَابِ مَا لَا يُحْصَى مِنَ الْمُصَنَّفَاتِ. So many books have been written in this genre of 40 hadith collections that you can't even count them. فَأَوَّلُ مَنْ عَلِمْتُهُ صَنَّفَ فِيهِ. The first scholar who I know, Imam Nawawi is saying, who wrote a 40 hadith collection was Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak. ثُمَّ Muhammad ibn Aslam al-Tusi. ثُمَّ الْحَسَنِ ibn Sufyan al-Nasawi. وَأَبُو بَكَرْ الْآجُرِّي وَأَبُو بَكَرْ مُحَمَّدْ بِنْ إِبْرَاهِيمْ الْأَصْفَهَانِي وَالدَّارْ قُتْنِي وَالْحَاكِمْ وَأَبُو نُعِيمْ وَأَبُو عَبْدِ الرَّحْمَنَ السُّلَمِي وَأَبُو سَعِيدَ الْمَالِينِي وَأَبُو عُثْمَانَ الصَّابُنِي وَعَبْدُ اللَّهِ بِنْ مُحَمَّدَ الْأَنصَارِي وَأَبُو بَكَرَ الْبَيْهَقِي. And he says there are so many of them. He lists a bunch of them and says, and you know, there are so many of them who've written in this field. And for those of you who know these names, you know that each of the people he named are giants. They are considered as a point of reference in their fields of expertise. Then after that he says, وَقَدْ إِسْتَخَرْتُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى فِي جَمْعِ أَرْبَعِينَ حَدِيثًا. Then I made istikhara to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on collecting 40 ahadith. اِقْتِدَاءً بِهَاُولَاءِ الْأَئِمَّةِ الْأَعْلَامِ. So I can follow those great scholars and their practice. وَحُفَّاظِ الْإِسْلَامِ and the protectors of Islam. وَقَدْ إِتَّفَقَ الْعُلَمَاءُ عَلَى جَوَازِ الْعَمَلِ بِالْحَدِيثِ الضَّعِيفِ فِي الْفَضَائِلِ الْأَعْمَالِ. He says, the scholars agree that it is permissible to practice upon weak narrations when it comes to matters of virtue. Now, just because it's weak doesn't mean it's discarded. And just because it's weak doesn't mean it's practiced. Even when it comes to the matters of virtues, there are certain conditions that must be met. The scholars, they say, there are three conditions that must exist in a weak narration in order for it to be practiced. What is the first thing? The weak hadith is related to virtues, and it has reminder in it. It reminds us, it encourages us to do good deeds. It does not relate to legal rulings, ahkam, and neither does it relate to aqidah, creed, belief. Because you cannot establish your creed through a weak narration. Everyone understand that? And neither can you establish a fiqhi ruling through a weak narration. The second thing, the weakness cannot be extremely weak. It could be weak because even weak narrations are of different degrees. Which is such a beautiful thing in our Islam that we have this detailed concept of what is a weak narration, what isn't a weak narration. And the third thing, the hadith must not contradict a proper understanding, an established understanding of Islam or a general principle of Islam. It can't bring anything new and it shouldn't contradict something that's already established. So now Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi, by the way, for those people who have a problem with weak narrations, you're going to have a big problem with a person by the name of Muhammad bin Ismail. I recall once I was in a discussion, and during the discussion I quoted a hadith, and the person in front of me said, who's the rawi? I said, Muhammad bin Ismail. He said that he's a weak narrator. What did he say? He's a weak narrator, and the hadith you quoted is weak. I said, well, the hadith I quoted is weak, that's true. But the fact that you're saying Muhammad bin Ismail is a weak narrator, that's not true. Because Imam Muhammad bin Ismail's more common name is Imam Bukhari. Uski hawa udar nikal gayi. He went quiet. He's like, oh man, you played me, Shaykh. I didn't know that Imam Bukhari's real name is Muhammad bin Ismail. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi wrote many books, by the way. And not all of his books only consisted of authentic narrations. Imam Bukhari himself says, I have memorized 200,000 authentic narrations, and I have memorized 100,000 The other way around. 200,000 weak narrations, 100,000 authentic narrations. And in his Sahih al-Bukhari, he has no more than 7,000 ahadith. So if you believe Imam Bukhari's goal was to collect all the Sahih hadith in the world, he himself shows a discrepancy of 93,000 ahadith. And Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi wrote another book called Al-Adab al-Mufrad, which is a commonly taught book to students of knowledge. People read it all the time. Maybe sometimes in our community, maybe at some point in our community, we can cover Al-Adab al-Mufrad as well. In there, Imam Bukhari brings weak narrations too. So this understanding that weak narrations have no place in the deen is not a traditional understanding. It's not the understanding of the muhaddithin. And Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi right here is just blowing it out the window. But he says, even though I'm going to compile this 40 hadith, وَمَعَ هَذَا فَلَيْسَ يَعْتِمَادِي عَلَى هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ I'm not doing it because of the hadith of the 40 hadith. That's not why I'm compiling this 40 hadith. It's not because of the weak narrations above. The reason why I'm compiling 40 hadith, he says, بَلْ عَلَىٰ قَوْلِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ فِي الْأَحَادِيثِ الصَّحِيحَةِ لِيُبَلِّغُ الشَّاهِدُ مِنْكُمَ الْغَائِبِ It's because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in his farewell sermon of Hajjatul Wada', he said, those who are present should convey my word to those who are not present. I'm following that hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, "وَقَوْلِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ نَظَرَ اللَّهُ إِمْرَأً سَمِعَ مَقَالَتِي فَوَعَاهَا فَأَدَّاهَا كَمَا سَمِعَهَا." May Allah subhanahu wa taala enlighten or brighten the face of the one who heard my statement, and he preserved it and then conveyed it to someone else just as he heard it, meaning didn't cause any change. As Muslims, we are very particular how we narrate the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you're not sure of the exact statement that you're narrating, then always add at the end of it, أَوْكَمَا قَالْ. أَوْكَمَا قَالْ means something similar to this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Then he says, ثُمَّ مِنَ الْعُلَمَاءِ مَنْ جَمَعَ الْأَرْبَعِينَ فِي أُصُولِ الدِّينِ وَبَعْضُهُمْ فِي الْفُرُوعِ وَبَعْضُهُمْ فِي الْجِهَادِ وَبَعْضُهُمْ فِي الزُّهْدِ وَبَعْضُهُمْ فِي الْآدَابِ وَبَعْضُهُمْ فِي الْخُطَبِ وَكُلُّهَا مَقَاصِدُ صَالِحَةٌ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْ مَقَاصِدِهَا He said that many scholars came, they compiled 40 ahadith with different intentions. Some scholars compiled 40 hadith on the usul, the principles of the deen, while some compiled 40 ahadith on the furu', the lower issues of the deen, while some scholars compiled a 40 hadith collection just on the topic of jihad, and some scholars compiled a 40 hadith collection just on zuhd, asceticism. Some scholars collected 40 hadith on the importance of adab, proper manner. Some compiled it, and then he continues on with all these different reasons why they compiled. He says, وَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ جَمِيعَ أَرْبَعِينَ أَهَمَّ مِنْ هَذَا كُلِّهِ وَهِيَ أَرْبَعُونَ حَدِيثًا مُشْتَمِلَةً عَلَى جَمِيعِ ذَلِكَ He said, however, I have a plan. And my plan is not to compile a 40 hadith collection on one subject. It's to compile a 40 hadith collection that covers all the subjects. It's going to be all inclusive. I'm going to bring everything into it. وَكُلُّ حَدِيثٍ مِنْهَا قَاعِدَةٌ عَظِيمَةٌ مِنْ قَوَاعِدِ الدِّينِ And every hadith I will compile in this book will be a principle from the principles of the deen. وَقَدْ وَصَّفَهُ الْعُلَمَاءُ بِأَنَّ وَقَدْ وَصَفَهُ الْعُلَمَاءُ بِأَنَّ مَدَارِ الْإِسْلَامِ عَلَيْهِ وَهُوَ نِصْفُ الْإِسْلَامِ أَوْ ثُلُثُهُ أَوْ نَحْوِ ذَلِكَ And he said, I will bring certain ahadith that scholars themselves will say regarding these ahadith, that these ahadith are, some of them are half of iman, some of them are one third of iman, meaning these are big, very important principles that are a part of our religion. Now he starts closing off by saying, ثُمَّ أَلْتَزِمُوا فِي هَذِهِ أَرْبَعِينَ أَن تَكُونَ صَحِيحَةً وَمُعْظَمُهَا فِي صَحِيحِ الْبُخَارِي وَمُسْلِمِ He said, my goal is to bring only authentic narrations in this 40 hadith collection. That's a very unique thing of Imam Nawawi's works, and in this one in particular. He said, most of the ahadith that I will be quoting will be found in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. He then says, وَأَذْكُرُهَا مَحْذُوفَةَ الْإِسْنَادِ I will cut out the chain of narrators, because if I bring each chain with each narration, it's just going to become too long and too blown out. So he says, I have removed the chain of narrators. Why? لِيَسْهُلَ حِفْظُهَا وَيَعُمُّ الْإِنْتِفَاعُ بِهَا إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهِ So those who wish to memorize these 40 hadith can easily do so. It'll be very easy for you to memorize it. I've shortened the ahadith. And he said also, it'll be easy to benefit from it. Then he says, ثُمَّ أَتْبِعُهَا بِبَابٍ فِي ضَبْطِ الْخَفِيلِ أَلْفَاظِهَا He said, if there's ever any words that are a little complicated, I will also help you understand them too. وَيَنْبِغِي لِكُلِّ رَاغِبٍ فِي الْآخِرَةِ أَنْ يَعْرِفَ هَذِهِ الْأَحَادِيثِ Anyone who has an intention or is desirous towards the hereafter should dedicate time to learn these ahadith. لِمَا اِشْتَمَرَتْ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْمُهِمَّاتِ Because they consist of very important subjects. وَاحْتَوَتْ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ التَّنْبِيهِ عَلَى جَمِيعِ الطَّاعَاتِ And it also covers and highlights the good deeds that a person needs to bring in their life. وَذَلِكَ ظَاهِرٌ لِمَنْ تَدَبَّرُ And what I am saying, the importance of this book will be apparent to whoever reads this book. Then he says, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ اِعْتِمَادِي I trust Allah, wa ilayhi tafwidi wa istinadi, and I rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa lahu alhamdu wa ni'ma, and I all praises for Allah, and all favors are for Allah, wa bihi tawfiq wal isma, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who guides, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who protects. Now, we've covered the introduction of Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi. Two quick things that are left before we close the class. One thing, we're going to be studying 40 hadith, so it only makes sense if we define what the word hadith means. So what does the word hadith mean? Literally, lughatan, from a dictionary standpoint, the word hadith means something new. Ziddul qadim. It's the opposite of something old. And the reason why... Now, hadith is also used to refer to speech. And the reason why speech is called hadith is because every time you say something, it's something new. It has a beginning. You initiated a statement. Before you initiated it, that statement didn't exist. So that's why hadith is there, ziddul qadim, as in opposite, as opposing to something old. Now, technically, when we use the term hadith, what does it mean? ما أضيف إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من قول أو فعل أو تقرير أو صفة خلقي أو خلقي أو خلقي. What does that mean? That whatever is attributed towards the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Whatever is attributed towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from his statements, anything he said, it's now considered a hadith. Or his actions, anything he did, is now considered a hadith. أو تقريرٍ, or something happened in his presence and he remained silent to it, that's considered a hadith as well. Because the reason why that's something important is because had it not been permissible, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have immediately prohibited, stop that act, because he was a prophet. He would not allow something haram to happen in his presence. Or a characteristics of his, or a characteristic or a description of his that describes his physical features or his internal character. So someone saying that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was more beautiful than the full moon, that's a hadith too, because it's describing his physical features. Or someone saying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was more modest than the newlywed while she is sitting inside her hawdaj, sitting inside her little camp, her little carriage. They're describing his characteristics. So now that we understand a hadith, it is also important to know a hadith are of different grades. There are authentic narrations, there are hasan, good narrations, there are weak narrations, and then there are some narrations that are absolutely fabricated. If you are interested in learning more detail on these terms and the different types and what their definition is, you'll need to study a more advanced and more detailed class. There's a class that I teach actually in this masjid in the summer called the Hadith Intensive, in which we actually cover all of this and much more in a lot of detail. So we invite you to that class. Otherwise, there are many books on this and there are many courses online that are easily available. The last thing I want to cover before I close today, it is a tradition that when we study hadith, since next week we're going to start the first hadith, it is a tradition that before you study a collection of hadith, you cover the hadith known as Al-Musalsal Bil-Awwaliyah. This is the first hadith every student hears from their teacher. When I sat in front of my teachers, the first hadith they taught us was Musalsal Bil-Awwaliyah. Musalsal means something with continuity. Al-Awwaliyah means the first hadith. There are many ahadith like this. For example, Musalsal Bil-Musafaha. Every time the students study this hadith from their teacher, what do? They shake the teacher's hand. Musalsal Bil-Tabassum. Every time you study this hadith from your teacher, you smile. Because a sahabi, when he heard this hadith from the Prophet, he smiled. And then when he taught it to his student, he told his student, you must smile too. And his student made his student smile. So similarly, مُسَلْسَلْ بِالْمَاءِ وَالْتَّمَرِ, that the hadith, that when you teach this hadith, the teacher gives the student two dates and some water. Some zamzam water. These are all different types of hadith. So there's one called مُسَلْسَلْ بِالْأَوَّلِيَّ. The hadith in which, it's the first hadith every student hears from their teacher. So I will share this hadith with you, inshallah, and aziz, while also sharing my entire chain of narration in this hadith. I heard the hadith of Musalsal bin Awaliyah from my dear teacher, Sheikh Yusuf bin Sulaiman, who taught me this hadith in England while I was studying in the Darul Uloom in the outskirts of Manchester in a small little village called Ramsbottom. And he studied it from his teacher, Sheikh Muhammad Zakaria Khandalvi, who studied it from his teacher, Sheikh Yahya. And this was the first hadith he heard from his teacher, Sheikh Rashid Ahmed Gangohi. And this was the first hadith he heard from his teacher, Sheikh Abdul Ghani Mujaddidi Dehlawi. And this was the first hadith he heard from his teacher, Sheikh Shah Ishaq Dehlawi. And this was the first hadith he heard from his teacher, Sheikh Shah Abdul Aziz Dehlawi. And then from there, I'm just going to read the rest of the hadith and the rest of the chain in Arabic, inshallah. And he heard from his teacher, Shah Waliullah, who says, حَدَّثَنِي سَيِّدْ عُمَرْ مِنْ لَفْظِهِ تُجَاهِ قَبْرِ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم. He says that, I heard the hadith from my teacher, Sayyid Umar, while I was standing in front of the grave of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَهُوَ أَوَّلُ حَدِيثٍ سَمِعْتُهُ مِنْ. And this was the first hadith I heard from my teacher. قَالَ حَدَّثَنِي جَدِّي الشَّيْخ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ بِنْ سَالِمَ الْبَصَرِي. قَالَ وَهُوَ أَوَّلُ حَدِيثٍ سَمِعْتُهُ مِنْ. قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا الشَّيْخ يَحْيَى بِنْ مُحَمَّدْ الشَّهِيرِ بِالشَّاوِي. قَالَ وَهُوَ أَوَّلُ حَدِيثٍ سَمِعْنَاهُ مِنْ. قال أخبرنا به الشيخ سعيد بن إبراهيم الجزائري المفتي الشهير. قال وهو أول حديث سمعته من. قال أخبرنا به الشيخ المحقق سعيد بن محمد المقري. قال وهو أول حديث سمعته من. عن ولي الكامل أحمد الحجي الوهراني. قال وهو أول حديث سمعته من. عن الشيخ الإسلام عارف بالله سيد إبراهيم التازي. قال وهو أول حديث سمعته من. قال قرأته على المحدث الرباني أبي الفتح محمد بن أبي بكر بن حسين المراغي. قال وهو أول حديث قرأته عليه. قال سمعت من لفظ شيخنا زين الدين عبد الرحيم بن حسين العراقي. قال وهو أول حديث سمعته منه. قال حدثنا أبو الفتح محمد بن محمد بن إبراهيم البكري الميدومي. قال وهو أول حديث سمعته منه. قال أخبرنا النجيب أبو الفرج عبد اللطيف بن عبد النعيم عبد المنعم الحراني. قال وهو أول حديث سمعته منه. قال أخبرنا الحافظ أبو الفرج عبد الرحمن ابن الجوزي. قال وهو أول حديث سمعته منه. قال أخبرنا أبو سعيد إسماعيل بن أبي صالح النيشابوري. قال وهو أول حديث سمعته منه. قال أخبرنا والدي أبو صالح أحمد بن عبد الملك المؤذن. قال وهو أول حديث سمعته منه. قال أخبرنا أبو طاهر محمد بن محمد محمش الزبادي. قال وهو أول حديث سمعته منه. قال أخبرنا أبو حامد أحمد بن محمد بن يحيى البزاز. قال وهو أول حديث سمعناه منه. قال حدثنا عبد الرحمن بن بشر بن حكم. قال وهو أول حديث سمعته منه. قال أخبرنا سفيان بن عيينة. قال وهو أول حديث سمعته منه. أنا عمر بن دينار أنا أبي قابوس مولى عبد الله بن عمر بن العاص عن عبد الله بن عمر بن العاص رضي الله عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال. Now this is the hadith. الراحمون يرحمهم الرحمن تبارك وتعالى ارحموا من في الأرض يرحمكم من في السماء. Those الراحمون يرحمهم الرحمن. Those who are merciful, the merciful will show mercy to them. Those who are merciful amongst you, the merciful will show mercy to you. ارحموا من في الأرض. Have mercy on those that are in the earth. يرحمكم من في السماء. The one in the heavens will have mercy upon you. This hadith is مسلسل بالأولية. And inshallah al-Aziz, next Wednesday we will start with the first hadith that Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi gathers and his collection of 40. There's one last little nukta that I forgot to mention that I'll mention to you right now. This 40 hadith collection of Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi wasn't originally his. There was a scholar of hadith by the name of Ibn Salah. Ibn Salah started writing a 40 hadith collection but was unable to complete it. He compiled 24 ahadith. And he was unable to complete it. So Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi started from where he left off and added another 28 ahadith, which made it how many in total? 42 ahadith. So that's the background to this collection as well. Khair, we'll stop here. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.